Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is now Wednesday, the 26th of March, 2025. How is the form out there? Are you up the walls, down at heel, over the hill, or under the weather? Sure, let us know in the manner most expected of you. You can tap out your thoughts to us on the WhatsApp, North and South, 087 032 32 32. And you can also email oliver at rte.ie. Tarasjok agus falsha roiv. Now, this morning in the programme, we're going to open our doors to a young footballer from County Tyrone. He plays for a small club on the western part of that county called Ahiarn. And he has something personal to tell us this morning, and it's something he shouldn't have to do, and it shouldn't be surprising that it has attracted so much attention, but he will, and it does. And his name is Kevin Penrose, and he's from a GAA nobility in Tyrone, plays wing back actually for Ahiarn, and also makes a living doing travel reviews, mostly hiking around Ireland and having the crack, and solo hiking as well, so that's your thing, and we'll have a chat to him about that as well. And 51551 is the text, and I'm sure you'll want to share some of your thoughts this morning, because the Ides of March would have been 11 days ago, but it is the 25th and 26th. It's this week, basically. The auguries and foreboding and doom seem to be everywhere you look. Here in Ireland, the Dáil Éireann in utter chaos, Count Corla, Verona, Murphy is on the brink. The opposition, men and women of every party, howled and roared rudely for a full 6 minutes of parliamentary speaking time yesterday. The Taoiseach Micheál Martin was tittering and sniggering away, and his excuses get lamer by the minute. And then the vote was just horsed through. And to celebrate, Michael Lowry stuck up his two fingers at Paul Murphy, who is one of several TDs recording the scenes in breach of the rules. We'll break that down in a minute. But across in America, you have the fallout from one of the highest ranking officials in the US government adding a journalist to a group chat and accidentally texting him classified war plans to bomb Yemen in advance of that actually happening. Over the water in Britain, not to be left out, the Chancellor of the Exchequer this morning is preparing a series of kind of austerity-like measures, basically. There's going to be a tidal wave of cuts to benefits on the poor and £36 worth of tax rises in a single week on homes and businesses, a record. So good times to be around, for sure. So to Leinster House. Leinster House, for those of you who have really been paying attention ever, grown-ups are there, elected to write laws to make life better for citizens, people who pay taxes and who get along their business, fix things like the housing disaster, the health shambles, the immigration system in bits. So for 2 months, with a break for sipping pints around the world to say how great the government as Parliament is, nothing has been done at all. Elaine Loughlin, the political editor of the Examiner, points out today just one single piece of legislation has been passed since the general election last November. That law was the one to allow a record number of junior ministers. And the front pages this morning highlight all of the chaos. The Daily Mail and The Star going for a holy show. That's the headline there. The Independent went for chaos, farce and disgrace. And in every single newspaper, you have the photograph of Michael Lowry, a former Fine Gael minister, condemned by the tribunal, re-elected every single time in Tipperary, with his two fingers pointing out at us. Literally everywhere. The Examiner, the Irish Times even put it on its front page. It's gone viral online, that clip that was shot by Paul Murphy. It was on the TV news yesterday. And Deputy Lowry's statement is that the video of him laughing, flipping his two fingers at Paul Murphy while shouting, "Woo!" was in fact a gesture to get the Dáil deputy to sit down. Now, everybody was streaming out of the Dáil at that stage. So that is that's what they do in Tipperary. So what you do to get someone to sit down, stick your two fingers up, flip them a couple of times, go, "You laugh," and have a bit of crack. It is the image of this whole thing now. He won't mind a bit. He doesn't really mind. The Irish Sun headline is, "How low can you go?" with the low as in Lowry next to that image on the front page. Let's have a look and see what Miriam Lord is saying, because she usually distills these things very well on days like today. Two-digit TD for tip gives smug masterclass. That's the headline. And she says, more than once, Count Corla, Verona Murphy glared at the howling opposition and bellowed the line destined to go around the world the moment she uttered it.
Yourselves.
An absolute holy show. By the way, the government backbenchers kind of applauded that as well. And Miriam Lord says they were too, to be sure, but not as much as Michael Lowry or indeed young Barry Heenahan from Dublin Bay North, who began aping the more unsavoury moves of his regional independent group leader Lowry by laughing and waving dismissively at incandescent members of the opposition. Actually, side note here is that the video of Lowry flipping the two fingers, like Father Dick Byrne in Father Ted, as many newspapers point out this morning, Barry Heenan is standing up next to him, hands in the pockets, the gut out, like a country lad at a wedding around 11 o'clock, you know, sweating from the dance floor. It's quite the image for Irish politics right now. Back to Miriam Lord. And then the Taoiseach, going to the wire for two-digit Lowry, the beckoning bounder of Irish politics. Sometimes Micheál was angry. Most times he chuckled at the massed ranks of the indignant and full cry across the floor. "You're all in high dough," laughed Micheál, looking up to the press gallery to see how that went down. Lowry loved it. He fell around the place. And then there's more commentary from Ivana Matt Chicken. Lowry and young Barry fell around the place again. Fianna Fáil's John McGuinness, the last Ciarán Comhairle. He was the man expected to get Verona Murphy's job. And occasional critic of his own party, Miriam says, he looked down grimly from his seat at the back row of the coalition benches. In the same row, Sean O'Farrell, former two-term Ciarán Comhairle, put his head in his hands as the decibel level went through the roof. That's kind of important because Sean O'Farrell would have been seen as shafted to allow Verona Murphy to become the Ciarán Comhairle at the behest of Michael Lowry. And Miriam says, Cian O'Callaghan of the Social Democrats made a telling point to the Taoiseach. A few government TDs winced when he made it. Your backbenchers are well aware you wouldn't be going to these extremes for them. Now, Elaine Loughlin in The Examiner takes a wider view. She spreads the blame more widely and says Oireachtas committees, you know, very important, play a crucial role. They've yet to be established. Our TDs are failing in their legislative duties, and in doing so, they are also failing to protect our national interests. At a time of great global upheaval where our security, defence and economic interests are in peril, our national representatives are behaving like infants. So she includes the opposition in the blame for all of that as well. And over the commentary is, what on earth does Michael Lowry have on Micheál Martin that the Taoiseach has gone to such lengths to give question time to the group, extra time, even though the coalition would essentially have a majority without him? Could there possibly be compromise on somebody as clean living and the kind of communion boy, frowny boy image of Micheál? Maybe Michael Lowry has a video of the Taoiseach eating a biscuit, which would be a true scandal in his world. Otherwise, what could he do? Could he pull the ministers out of government? Sean Canny, Noel Grealish, Marion Harkin, Kevin Boxer-Moran are in the kind of the Lowry lads brigade. And Boxer-Moran has just been on Morning Ireland defending Michael Lowry. Remarkably, nobody seems to have noticed that Simon Harris is missing from all of this action entirely, and that's how far he's fallen from power and influence. He seems to have a lesser influence than the Right Honourable Two Fingers TD of Tipperary. The Taoiseach is in Lebanon at the moment visiting troops as part of his military branding shtick. But he does seem to be kind of missing when all these Dáil speaking rows seem to be happening. What happens now? Well, right now, the Dáil is sitting, I believe, is just about to sit right now. And the opposition are going to meet at 9:30 as a united front, which itself is remarkable. And they're going to decide whether to call for a no confidence vote, perhaps perhaps a call for resignation, not even a vote of no confidence. They wouldn't win that, it would be defeated by the government. We don't entirely know what happens next. Quick correction, by the way, Sean Canning was defending Michael Lowry earlier on, not Boxer-Moran. But what we remember, of course, as you heard in Morning Ireland, when the Labour leader Eamon Gilmore expressed no confidence in John O'Donoghue as Ciarán Comhairle in a row over expenses, and he resigned a day later, no need for a motion. So what happens? Don't know. To America now, where you look for the grown-ups, still no sign of them there. The media having great fun pounding away at the Trump administration over that stunning story where war plans were live-linked to a journalist on the commercial Signal messaging app. It's rather like WhatsApp. One of them, in fact, received the messages on this highly hackable social media app while in Moscow. They were in Moscow while getting the messages. Talk about serving it on a platter to Putin. Fox News, their slant on it is the massively embarrassing leak about... It's a bombing, by the way, that did kill people. They said this shows transparency, leaking this to the journalists. Trump supporters, though, are blaming the journalist himself, Jeffrey Goldberg, who was added through no fault of his own and, in fact, didn't really believe it. And the chat shows are indulging in this heavily. Here's Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. He's been highlighting how, you know, the journalists quite understandably thought this was an amusing hoax until the very dark thing happened.
You know, back in my day, if you were a journalist who wanted leaked war documents, you'd work the sources, meet them in a dark garage, earn the trust, pound the pavement. Now, Just wait for the National Security Advisor to be distracted by White Lotus while he's setting up his Bomb Yemen group chat. By the way, I might be in this group chat. I don't know. I don't check my group chats. Perhaps my favorite text of the entire group chain was the one from our defense secretary saying, quote, "We are currently clean on OPSEC." For those of you who don't know, OPSEC means operational security. He said that in a group chat. A group chat with a journalist. The journalist said that he didn't think that the story was real until Yemen was bombed.
Oof. There you go. But and the oomph from the audience there is the fact that 15 people were killed in the airstrikes. The US say they were terrorists. And last night, then Ronnie Cheng, also on The Daily Show, summed up how this story is really a cautionary tale for every one of us who's ever been in a WhatsApp group or chain chat of any kind. And I think The Daily Show is kind of the sharpest at the minute doing this satire at a time, let's face it, of war.
Well, laugh it up, people, because unlike you, I have human empathy for these people who are just trying their best to kill other humans, all right? And I guarantee that if anyone in this audience had their group chats leaked, it would ruin every single one of your lives. I personally have chats that are actually more sensitive than a missile attack on the Houthis, okay? If you told me that my group chats leaked and then told me it was just my missile attack one, I'd be like, oh my God, thank God, thank God. And by the way, it wasn't even Pete Hegseth who added him. It was some other incompetent guy at the highest levels of government, okay? Like, what, you think Hegseth has the editor of the Atlantic magazine saved in his phone? No way, all right? If Hegseth autofilled a contact into a group chat, it would be like Tampa Bay blonde with Bugs Bunny tattoo. But still, you gotta ask, how did this happen? I mean, don't you guys have tech support in the government? I mean, what? Oh.
That's a picture of Elon Musk that they're laughing at there. Yeah, who's literally called himself tech support for all the good that is done. The airstrikes on the Syrian and those bombings have continued since on the rebel Houthis who are disrupting shipping traffic in the region. And it's mostly a proxy war going on since 2014. The Houthis, I think, are Shia Muslims, aren't they? They're backed by Iran. They've taken over Yemen, and the US airstrikes are in support of Saudi Arabia, who are the Sunni Muslims. And that battle against the Houthis continues. That's kind of the context which is lost in here. But the main thing from the leaks is that J.D. Vance couldn't believe, even questioned, second-guessed Donald Trump's decision to attack the Houthis, disrupting the shipping lanes, because it mostly affects European imports and cargo and so on. Vance is like, I'm sick of bailing these guys out. And Hegg said, it's like, yeah, they're pathetic. Then the strikes happen and there are emoji reactions to it. It is extraordinary. Speaking of emojis, that is the theme of the Netflix Adolescence show, which has obviously shocked parents of teenagers who haven't been paying attention for the last 10 or 15 years of what's going on social media. But extraordinarily, so many people have watched this show now on Netflix that in Britain, which sometimes I think include figures in Ireland as well, we don't know, they don't break it down in Netflix. Netflix drama has become the first program on a streaming platform to become the number one most watched show on TV audiences in Britain. So 6.5 million people watched the first episode in a week. The second one, 6 million viewers. And the third place show was The Apprentice, which is on terrestrial, linear television, whatever you want to call it, broadcast television as opposed to streamers. Streamers, that's the first time ever that's happened. I think that's a remarkable thing. Stephen Graham, who's the star of that, by the way, with his Liverpool accent, is also in the news because he, in his next thing, is playing Bruce Springsteen's father in a biopic which stars Jeremy Allen White as Springsteen in the recording the Nebraska album. That's 1982, when there's tension between the boss and his dad. And Stephen Graham revealed that he got a text from Bruce Springsteen, who has seen the film, and said it was beautiful, and said that getting a text was the was basically the best ever. It would be better than any award, is what he says, basically. Okay, it's nearly 20 past nine this morning, so there's the Kingfisher, who are friends of the show, are in the top 10 on the Irish streaming charts this morning, they're sandwiched between Sabrina Carpenter and Chapel Roan. There aren't many Irish people who get into streaming charts nowadays, but they did get in with this one. And they say they wrote this song for one of the members in their role, because he left his hurling team basically when they made a final, and he said he would still be playing if it wasn't for the bands. So there you go, some folk music in the charts at last, in among all the pop. Enjoy this, Kingfisher, Irish music, a few strings of a morning.